So we live in an age of technological advancement, and nothing like the world has ever seen before. If someone was born in 1900 and died in the year 2000, they were born before the Wright brothers. Then, when they were 68, we landed on the moon. And then, by the end of their life, they're well into the computer age. When has there been a century like that? And I want to pose two large questions. We'll spend more time on the second one. Has it made us smarter? Dan says no. Fran says no. There are a lot of people that think it has. And certainly there have been some very smart people that have helped produce the technology. And it has enabled smart people to have better access to technology, which can make people smarter. Doesn't mean people are using it well. But that's going to be the first question we're going to look at. And then the next question, has it made us better? And again, I'm seeing no. So let's start off with, has it made us smarter? This is the first computer. Some of you know what this is. This is the Antikythera mechanism. So if you will use your advanced technology and Google first computer, you should find this. It's not electronic and it's not binary. It was found, see if I've got a laser pointer here going on. Yeah. Well, it was found over here at the island of Antikythera, which is between Crete and Greece. It was on a ship that sank about 70 years before the birth of Christ. 70 years before the birth of Christ. And it was discovered on the bottom of the seafloor in the wreck. And you look at that and you might think it doesn't look like a whole lot. But as they start looking at it in more detail and cleaning it up and looking at it with some advanced technology, you start finding out how many gears it had in it. And here's kind of a schematic of it. And they don't know everything it could do, but it had like a calendar in it, the position of the planets, navigational things, all sorts of things. And watching a video about it, one of the guys was talking about there's, you know, an advanced math form that they're using that we didn't apparently even understand. Really remarkable piece. This is a model of it. And here's another model of it. And if you look at some of the pictures of it, you'll see these beautiful, beautiful little gears and then the Greek lettering underneath it, describing it and such, all made by hand. All made without a computer. So when people start thinking that we're so much smarter, we're building on knowledge that's come along in the past. Like I've always said, we're getting cameras better and better, and you can get more and more pixels, and you can make it smaller and smaller. But the guy that impresses me is the first guy that got an image to go onto a piece of glass. You know, that was pretty cool. Now, when somebody later gets color on there, hey, that's great, but that's still not as big a jump as this, you know, and the other things. So if you remember after the Parkland shooting, there was a young man who became very famous for his political stances, and I'm not going to get off on all the mistakes that the FBI made coming off up on that and everything, but there was a clip of him just being very foul-mouthed, and one of the things he said was, our expletive parents don't even know how to use their, you know, electronics, their phones, without us showing them how to do it. So it should be no surprise they can't do democracy, so we've got to show them how to do it. And that's representative of an attitude that says, because, you know, I can understand a gadget, that means I'm smart. That doesn't mean that we're smart. Most people in here have a computer or a tablet or a smartphone or something, and very few of us in here, if any, could build one. Or build one from scratch, especially. Put somebody on a desert island, you know, the professor, remember him from Gilligan's Island? You know, he can do some coconuts and stuff, but he's not going to make a computer. It's not going to happen. You may understand some things about it, but there's some other things here going on. But aside from the question of, and there's this too. We have access to information, but it doesn't mean that we're using it for good things. There was a clip recently I heard about, I didn't see it, but it was on one of these man on the street interviews, and the question was, name a book. And person after person was stumped. It wasn't name a book you've read. You know, it was name a book. But people see viral clips and people see YouTube videos. And we live in a culture now where whatever your political stance or your social movement or your agenda is, you can get online and talk with people that are in that same bubble and you can support each other, but it doesn't mean you're actually learning anything. You know, you can find a website for flat earthers, you know, and listen to all each other and get real, you know, sure that, yeah, the earth is flat, and it's still not. So we're not necessarily getting smarter. Has it made us better? Sometimes people will say about this book, they'll say, that's 2,000 years old. You know, why should that have any meaning in life to us? Because it's too old. We live in advanced modern times. You know what? This book talks about moral problems. The answer to moral problems, the solution to moral problems, and redemption from our failures in those very areas, and the way out. And you know what? The internet, if anything, has just demonstrated how important that is. Because one of the main uses of it is for all sorts of immoral activity. From online identity theft. So the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. We've just found more ways to steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We've found more ways to find somebody else that wants to commit adultery. And so on and so on and so on. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. Understand this. I'll wait and let you turn to that. If you want to turn to it, look at it in your own Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This will be our main text this evening. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the ESV. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of selfies. Oh, wait, I read that wrong. For people will be lovers of self. Lovers of money. Proud. Arrogant. Abusive, disobedient to their parents. Most of you probably know there's a whole acronym alphabet thing that kids use so that if their parents look over their shoulder, the parent doesn't know the message that's being used. How many of you are aware of that? Raise your hand. Okay, so some of you are aware of that, some of you are not. So there's kind of like what TTYL is talk to you later and LOL is laughing out loud. There's all sorts of things, you know, that lets you know, parent looking over my shoulder, can't talk now, or whatever else, and all kind of coded things. And the kids know those codes, because they know mom or dad might see, and so they're counting on them not seeing because they know they're doing what? They're being disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Heartless. We have people who it is crucially important to them how many friends they have on Facebook. That determine their self-worth based on how many friends they have on Facebook. There was a case in Tennessee a few years ago where a man went and shot, I don't remember if he killed him or not, but shot somebody in town because that person had unfriended his daughter on Facebook. There was a case a few years ago where somebody was on Facebook and they posted, "I'm going to kill myself." And their friends did not jump in to help them, did not call 911. Some of them said, "Do it." Unappeasable. You ever seen some of those online arguments going on back and forth and they don't want everyone to listen? Slanderous. That never happens on the internet, does it? Without self-control. I mean, it's almost like 2 Timothy 3 is a prediction of the internet. Brutal. Not loving good. Treacherous. Reckless. Swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Well, that's not much of the internet, but there are sections of the internet that are certainly that. And then it says that. Avoid such people. Does that mean we can't use the internet? That we can't use technology? No, it doesn't mean that. If you want to know, hey, are we going to be able to play volleyball or basketball or something tonight? Well, we can what? Weather.com. Is weather.com making us arrogant, abusive, disobedient to our parents? No. There's lots of good things on the internet. It's like Blue Letter Bible, you know, to find a passage or something. Lots of good things in there. And there's, you can make a donation to a charity, you know, online, just very simply and stuff. There's all sorts of wonderful things that it can do. If there's a missing person, there's wonderful things it can be used for. But a high percentage of what it's used for is for base, wasteful, horrible, degrading, worse than animalistic type things. We're all used to seeing something like that, right? You're going to use this or that, and it says, do you agree to the terms and conditions? And sometimes it says, you got to read them. You scan over, okay, all right. You click, or you just, surely they're okay. But, you know, I think maybe it might help if we as brethren also had a thing that popped up to remind us. I understand and agree that the following rules also apply to internet usage. The book of Proverbs still applies. Sermon on the Mount still applies. The epistles, etc., the rest of Scripture, still apply. Have you seen people that act one way in real life and act another way online? There was a famous case a while back, or at least a case publicized in the news. It was about some pretty rough part of the web. And there was some character that was really known for being edgy on there and everything, but he was anonymous. And a reporter tracked down and found out who he was. And he lived He had a house and a mortgage and a wife and kids, and he worked in a cubicle at an office in Houston, Texas. And he was really disappointed and surprised that the reporter found out who he was, because on the web, he was this really edgy, horrible person. And he begged the reporter, don't let people know who I am. You know, he didn't want that out there. Here was his real life. Here was his horrible behavior on the web. And he wanted those things separate. And for all his brazenness and in your face on the internet, he seemed kind of scared and pathetic in real life. Have you seen those comments maybe on a political article or something, and you get down to the comments section and maybe somebody has an interesting comment? You know, it says, in 1912 we had a similar policy. Yeah, that might be something worth reading. But a lot of it's going to be what? Just vicious. Just mean. Just ignorant. And then they're just attacking each other. Who are these people? What? And would they treat other people like that in real life? You know, if they walked up in the grocery store, you know, would they be coming to blows and pulling out knives and clubs and stuff? But on the internet, they have what? Anonymity. So let's remember that we need to be Christians. This is an excellent sermon today, as Jonathan talked to us about today. And we need to be Christians if we get online. Here's some of the things you get online. Boasting and narcissism, similar. Filthiness and quarreling. Let's look at a few verses before we close this evening about each of these. Boasting. Proverbs 27:2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. There's lots of things that are just basic good manners and morals that just disappear in the internet, and really kind of in our culture. Starting in the White House and down through our culture. Think of the merit in this. Let another praise you and not your own mouth. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble, there is wisdom. James 4, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 25, 27. It's not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. You like honey? I like honey. It's one of those things that I forget about. You know, but if I'm on a trip or something, or if I stop at Popeye's and I get a biscuit, man, I want honey on that thing. Well, that is really good stuff. Anybody here want, you know, for lunch? What's for lunch? Honey. No. It's a little goes a long way, doesn't it? Is there an appropriate time to share good news with people? Yes, that's right. That is exactly right. In Romans 12, it says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. If you're going through something really difficult, should you let your friends know? And I don't mean just Facebook internet friends. I mean, let your friends know, whether you contact them in a different state over the internet or face to face. That allows them to do what? To know what you're going through, to pray for you, to offer you that support so you're just not going through it alone. Weep with those that weep. Well, what does the verse also say? Rejoice with those that rejoice. If you've just accomplished something, if you've been working to open a business and you got it open, or you've been working to get a degree and you got a degree, or something else, do your friends want to know about that? Yes. So that doesn't mean we have to say, I graduated, but I'm not going to tell anybody. No, it's your friends want to know when something's gone well for you. And your real friends want to know, you know, if you need help with something, you're having difficulty. Does that mean my friends want to hear me gripe and complain about everything every day? No, Franz is saying no. I'll call you in the first thing tomorrow, Franz. Hey, guess what, Franz? And it's like, but you know, if I needed something and I said, Franz, I got a real problem. Can you help me? You know what Franz would do? He would be glad I told him that, and he would be there for me, and he would do that. That doesn't mean he wants to hear me whine all the time. And if Franz tells me there was something really cool happened with Franz a while back, the company president, I think it was, or the owner of the company, vice president, wanted to ride along with somebody that does actual work, and it was recommended to the vice president of the company that Franz ought to be the one he rode along with. And he rode along with Franz, and it went really, really well. I'm really glad Franz shared that with me. That was really exciting. That doesn't mean, just like Franz doesn't want to hear me complain every single day, you know, that doesn't mean I want to hear every 5 minutes, hey, guess what? You know, I just beat somebody at tic-tac-toe. Okay. You know, a little goes a long way. Don't just go around seeking your own glory. Don't go around trying to make everybody else feel sorry for yourself. Yes, there's a place to share bad news. Yes, there's a place to share good news. But it's not all about me. It's not all about you. And when we try to suck all the emotions of everybody into our hole for our glory or for our pity party, what's wrong there? Selfishness. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Do you know that one reason some people boast is they want other people to envy? I think probably there's insecurity there. I don't feel good enough about myself. So if I can shove in your face that I got this, you'll think I'm better than you, and somehow that makes me feel better. It doesn't work very well. There was an advertisement a while back up in Harrisburg, a Jaguar dealership, you know, turn your friends green with envy. Somebody doesn't understand friendship very well, nor the history of electronic problems in Jaguars. But that's a different subject. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. 1 Corinthians 10. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare one another with one another, they are without understanding. In Philippians 2, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count yourselves more significant than yourself. Others, excuse me, count others more significant than yourself. This is very simple. Jesus talked about these paradoxes over and over and over and over. He that humbles himself will be exalted. He that exalts himself will be humbled. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. If you want to be great, learn to serve. And one of the simplest ways to do this is you think of the people that you truly admire the most and appreciate the most and respect the most. You are not thinking about arrogant, boastful people. You are thinking about what kind of people? People that serve. People that care about other people, people that are unselfish. What are arrogant, boastful people trying to get other people to do? To think highly of them. What do you actually think about arrogant people? You see them for what they are. That's low and base. Quarreling. Now, it's just not on the internet. We need to apply this in other places. Too many times in marriage, I've been guilty of quarreling. Or other situations, we can be quarreling otherwhere. And for times I've quarreled, Bertina, I'm sorry. But quarreling, whether it's with your spouse or with someone else or your neighbor or on the internet. And it goes on all the time on the internet. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Those people that are just send those flaming comments to each other, you know, on a political discussion or other type of discussion on the internet, why are they doing that? Are they thinking that they're going to sway the other person's opinion? Are they trying to help the other person? They're being brutal. They're being mean. What are they trying to do? They want to be hostile. Why? What satisfaction is there in that? Titus 3, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, is there a place for disagreement? Yes, there is a place for disagreement. And in disagreement, can you sometimes learn and be corrected in your own thinking, or help someone else learn and be corrected in their own thinking, or learn and find a compromise in between? Yes. But when does disagreement become quarreling? Yeah, and there's a line there, isn't there? Sometimes we've gone a little bit over the line before, you know, you realize you're over the line. Kind of like after all this rain that we've had and you're walking along the grass. Is the grass damp? Yes. Is it muddy? No. And you keep walking through a field, and by the time you realize it's muddy, you've probably taken a couple of steps too far into the muddy, and you'd start realizing, and you need to what? You know, you back out. So when something just starts becoming a quarrel, what's being accomplished? A disagreement, you can have two different ideas presented. You can both learn, and you might find that just like a coin, it's got a heads and a tails, or two sides of it, and both see the other side. That's what Philippians 2 is saying. Look not just to your own things, but to the things of others. See the other person's side. And in a discussion, which may include some disagreement, we can learn to see the other person's side. But when it starts becoming quarreling, Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit. A wise man quietly holds it back. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. But harsh words, what do? They stir up anger. And of course, Matthew 5, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to judgment. I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. And then finally, filthiness. Matthew 12:36. And just all of these apply to things other than the internet, but our focus is tonight our behavior online. Matthew 12, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. I mean, just, you know, the Bible says the books will be opened and there's everything we've done. You know, without even getting into everything they've done, for a lot of people, all you got to pull up is just their online activity. I've heard two preachers talk about the internet. One said he got off social media because he just couldn't handle the disappointment of seeing how brethren were behaving. The other one, a fellow told me the other day, he said, I love social media. It helps me know what I need to preach on. He says, okay. He said, they won't talk to you about what the problem is, but they pour it all out over there on social media, and then you know what you need to preach on. Colossians 3, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And that's just, there's a lot of people, that our language is getting culture, our culture is getting baser and baser. Just the amount of foul language is getting ridiculous. Things that used to be, now our politicians just use foul language, you know, publicly, and it's printed publicly and everything else. And we've got little kids using foul language, and people think it's funny. And we've got should-be grown-up intelligent people who have forgotten what adjectives are. Because things are not blue or large or square or oblong. They're this and that and the other thing. And everything has to be described with a vulgarity that doesn't even make any sense. The mouth of the wicked is perverse. Matthew 15, 11. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. And of course, where did that come from? From the heart. Ephesians, and then there's all the immoral content. Sexual immorality. All impurity or covetousness. Listen to it. Must not be named, must not even be named among you. That's not, well, yeah, we all struggle with pornography. No, no, let's read it again. Sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. That doesn't mean do it and don't talk about it. That's not what that means. That means that must not be what's going on in our lives, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. And what has our entertainment media debased itself to? That has become entertainment. There are comedians that are funny. And then there are other ones that are just filthy. And then there are some that are filthy but funny. The funny doesn't make the filthy okay. There's such a thing as humor that's not degrading and base and crude and disrespectful to women and disrespectful to our God. But this has become what entertainment is. Matthew 5, think about just the images and the pornography and everything, which is a huge portion of downloads on the internet. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that every woman who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your internet connection causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Let's go out this week and let's make positive differences in the world. Let's remember who we are while we're here. Let's remember who we are when we're driving on the road. Let's remember who we are while we're at work. And let's remember who we are when we're online. Understand this. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, denying his power. Avoid such people. And people say, who needs this? We've got this. And this is what we've used technology for. Let that not be named among us as becoming saints. Thank you for your attention. And if you need to respond in any way, you can do so as we stand and sing the song, Selected.